to the Throw It in the Ocean podcast, the only podcast that's about not throwing it and not the ocean.
In fact, we are the furthest from the ocean.
it would take
a long throw to actually hit the ocean from here. So
I know. I was thinking, Yost, howdy, by the way. I was thinking, how do you have somebody sees up our podcast name, they're gonna say, what in the heck is that? Because really it has nothing to do with throwing or the ocean, and people are probably like, look at these polluting jabronis, you know what I mean?
Look at these landlocking son of a guns.
But how do you describe it?
Just on that real quick, for anybody that hasn't listened, we still have not come up with a good reason why we named it this. The only thing that fits closest is the when we were in college together and we played beer pong and we really needed one of us to sink a cup, we would just say, this is easy. Just throw it in the ocean. Like, because you can't miss, right, when you throw it in the ocean. You just throw it. Yeah. So that's kind of where it came from. But neither Todd or I, we've both been to the ocean separately, and I didn't throw anything in. I don't know if you have. So
I don't really know.
That's one of my favorite sayings. Like when somebody just like sucks at something and it's like, you couldn't hit water if you fell out of a boat. I love old people sayings, man.
Well, what about couldn't hit the broadside of a barn? Like, that's not that big. You could miss that.
Well, it depends on if you're pretty close and you can't hit the broadside of a barn, then like you're trash, kid.
That's true.
Yeah. So anyways, but I know we got a sponsor today.
We do, and I just wanted to say real quick, I think today we're going to call today the 1 year anniversary episode, basically.
Yeah, we actually had to fire our producer and our the director of the show because they forgot to remind us that last episode was the year. So we just picked up for this episode. We got I don't know who we got back there in the studio. We got Tarantino and somebody else. So we missed the year. We missed the year. Basically. Yep.
Yeah, we got to let James Gunn go.
Yeah. So we got right now we got George Lucas and Tarantino back there helping run the show just so we can find somebody that actually knows what they're doing. So
that's right. Well, I got lots of little stories and want to throw some questions at you, but I'll go ahead and give the shout out to today's podcast sponsors.
Good.
So today the episode is brought to you by Cost Crow. Get a murder at wholesale prices.
That's a what is that called? Like a classification joke?
A double entendre?
Isn't there like a terminology for, isn't it like zoology?
Oh yeah.
Like the study of animals. So you just said that was just for our zoological audiences. Zoological.
It's just like a classification. Yeah, what do you call that?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure like cryptology, something like that is like the study of animals that aren't real. I don't know. I don't know why I'm pretending like I do know.
I don't either. Like, I'm trying to think of another one. What are like sheep or like geese?
A gaggle of geese.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Study of groups of animals.
A herd.
Ethology. Ethology is the study of animal behavior. So.
Fair enough.
There's a bunch of weird names of animals. Weird names for a group of animals. Okay, my computer's listening to me.
Thanks a lot.
Google. A shrewd. There's a group of apes. It's called a shrewd. Okay, that's annoying because I have to disable my ad blocker to keep reading that one. Ooh, here you go. A group of bats is a cauldron. What do we got? A group of drafts is a tower. A tower
what?
Of drafts.
Yeah. That's amazing.
The one that always sticks with me is the squid. If it's like, why are we not calling a group of squid a squad? Because squid is actually an audience. So
I'm pretty sure I just did a quick search and we could totally be wrong, but it looks like pandas, a group of pandas, is called an embarrassment.
That's I'll take it. I love pandas.
Penguins are a waddle. Yeah. Dazzle. Zebras are a dazzle.
Ooh, lemurs are a conspiracy.
Nice.
A conspiracy of lemurs. This segment brought to you by Steve Irwin. There's definitely a handful of listeners that have no idea who Steve Irwin is.
That's true.
So look him up. So yeah, what did you get into this week, Todd? Anything exciting? Anything not exciting that you want to just put everybody to sleep with? I didn't do anything this week, so I think I'm going to be boring.
Well, recap of my week. I had a proposal due at work, which is a lot of writing and pretty much putting together it's a marketing document that sells our team so that we can hopefully get picked to go interview. So that was like a big grind, getting that done and meeting deadlines. And so work was kind of a little bit of, just boring, a little draggy, but got through the end of the week. And then, so yesterday I was going to talk about this. I guess now's the time, but so yesterday we made a day trip and went to Estes Park in Colorado.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Have you ever been?
I have. Yep.
You have?
I have.
Nice. When was that?
Long time ago. When I was living in Casper.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. We purely went for the Stanley Hotel stuff. And then I've been to Estes Park twice. One time just kind of driving through and stuff. And then the other time, obviously, for that. So we kind of just did the tourist thing.
That's what I was going to ask you about, the Stanley Hotel piece. Obviously, that's a huge attraction. Not to mention it's in the mountains. It's right at the entrance to Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's pretty and touristy and a lot of that stuff. But did you go to the Stanley Hotel?
Yeah, we were going to do the haunted tour. Mm-hmm. I think it was at the beginning of October. We were going to do the haunted tour, but it was just packed. Like, obviously, October. And then for those of you that don't know, the Stanley Hotel is kind of it's a haunted holy ground, I would say. Like, but it's also the one of the backdrops for the Stephen King, The Shining. In the movie, the outside of the Stanley Hotel in that movie is actually in Oregon, and the inside is based off of the Stanley.
Yep, basically this is from Brandy because she's a Stephen King fan. So, part of the reason we went was he stayed there and it kind of provided some inspiration for that story.
Yep. And I think, there's obviously like changes and stuff. But I remember he, wrote part of the book. I don't know. He might've wrote part of the book in room 217, but in the movie they changed the number to 237.
I don't know. I didn't get that deep into it. We didn't actually take a tour. It's just timing wise and when they started them. We'll probably go back and do it. So it's only about an hour and 40 minutes from here.
Yeah. It's the funny thing about that hotel is too, is it's like, it's not as like it, when you've seen the movie, it's obviously isolated, which, makes sense. But when you like go to the Stanley Hotel, it's kind of like just there's stuff around it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it takes away from the creepiness of it. Like, it's not isolated up on a hill like you would hope it would be.
It's just like it's portrayed, I think, in the movie.
Yeah, which so again is that's an Oregon the outside. I'd say if there's a movie that I've seen more, the movie I've watched the most in my entire life is easily The Shining. So I'm kind of obsessed with that movie. But and to the point too, where like, so I've been thinking of ideas for a tattoo sleeve, and I want to do one side, like one of my arms. I kind of want to do like some pop culture and video game stuff and music stuff that like I like, and just have it be a mishmash. And I want to do the filler, so in between pictures, I want to do the filler as the carpet in The Shining. That ugly like red and orange carpet in the movie.
Oh.
I want to do that as like the filler in between. Just as like a little Easter egg. So, yeah. something that's like, oh, I love the movie, but I'm not going to like put the two creepy girls on my arm.
No kidding.
Or, you know, the classic Jack Nicholson peeking through the door. Like, I just want something subtle, even though it's like the brightest carpet in the face of the earth, but still.
I think the story. So I got to ask you this question about, you know, I'm going to guess we're going to be different on this. I'm going to preface it, but
okay.
So when we go, and we didn't even dig that deep into it, but I was more interested in, I should have researched a little bit more, but I was more interested in the actual backstory of the Stanley family, like the guy that created the Stanley Steamer car, what I mean? And the history behind the building and that dude, because you can kind of go see it, even though it's been upkept and remodeled here and there. And I went through the same thing when we were in Ireland, seeing all those ancient buildings and hearing the stories of the family, you know, genealogy and, or lineage, I guess is probably the better word, but I don't know. That's super interesting to me. And I'm just curious, like, I would guess most folks are more interested in the ties to the, to the culture, the pop culture piece.
Yeah. Cause I think Stanley, I'm pretty sure that's like the, outside of the thing is a picture of, or a statue of Stanley, if I remember correctly. But he's the guy that's like haunting the place.
That's what they say.
Yeah. But I don't know much more than that. So yeah.
Yeah.
Which it's one of those like go-to destinations for people that believe in ghosts and stuff like that, which I'll look you square in your eyes right now, Todd, and say, I don't believe in ghosts.
I really don't know where to fall on this topic. I want to. I've never had an experience that tells me I should.
Yeah.
So.
I just don't feel like. I feel like I've had experiences, but that were only just driven by me being like a little kid that just watched a scary movie. Like, I've never had like lights turn on by themselves or doors close on their own or, you know, anything like that. But I've definitely felt like, oh, somebody's watching me or, you know, whatever, but that, you know, nothing I ever took seriously.
Yeah.
I don't dive into the ghost hunting fad, you know, because Deadwood has a ton of places that have haunted ghost tours. And I think those are cool and it's like an entertainment thing, but I'm not actually going in there expecting to like see a ghost. I just think it's all scripted. It's all like plants.
Fair. People
setting stuff up. So yeah, that's a cool weekend.
So it was pretty fun.
Yeah,
it was nice. We actually randomly timed it to where there had some like town festival and live music and grilling in one of the central parks. And so it was very busy. And
yeah, I bet.
If you've been there, you know how tight the town is and the roads getting in and out are like, you know, lots of traffic.
Right.
But yeah, it was fun. It was a good experience. I'd never been there. So now I can say I have.
Yeah, it's nice. I just like that part of Colorado too.
Just like getting up on the west side of all the, you know, Denver, Fort Collins and stuff up in the Front Range.
Yep. Just kind of more like the kind of, obviously away from the bigger craziness of Denver, but just kind of more like what we grew up in, you know, just like the hillside, like countryside and hillside and just forest. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So that's kind of why I like the Black Hills still. It reminds me of just like, I don't know, being in the trees, even though I never go outside. So I've heard there's trees out there though.
But you can say you live in pretty much in them. So
yeah, I've got a tree in my backyard that I stand under once in a while.
Yeah, that counts.
I didn't do anything this weekend. Went to Rapid for some stuff for my wife and I's 2-year anniversary of being married. But other than that, didn't do anything. Our town had homecoming for high school and college here the same weekend. Shout out to our high school team that got their second win.
Nice.
Blasted Custer out of the water. And then the BH football team actually had a huge come from behind win in double overtime. So that was kind of cool.
In college football, there's only two, right? Or do they keep going?
I think they do four. That's a complete guess. But it's different because it's like each team gets a chance. You know what I mean? So like what I think ended up happening was, is like we just kept matching field goals or whatever. And then I think they made a field goal and then we returned the favor with a touchdown. So I think you just, I think each team get, it's not like the pros where whoever scores first wins. I think in college, it's like both teams set up from like the 40 or 30 and get a crack at it.
So, yep. And then they said, I just saw that for this year, they changed the rules to shorten the games because it basically, if you go, I'm trying to see a certain number of, after the touchdown in the second overtime period, teams are required to run after they score a touchdown to now go after a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, right.
Because there was a 7 overtime game in 2018.
Yeah. And that's crazy. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, Wyoming had a pretty nuts comeback against UConn for a win too. So they're still undefeated.
So sidebar in a sports book corner here, they were a 30-point favorite.
I know.
I stayed far away because I just didn't think that was going to happen, and thank God I did.
Yeah, that was a ugly game.
That's yeah. Sure. And then, that's a long ways to travel.
Yeah, it is. Holy cow. I wonder like how that ended up on the schedule. Like that's a random trip for sure.
Yeah.
And then before we got on, Todd and I just witnessed the Ravens kicker break the longest field goal in a game record with 66 yards.
There's a good chance that you and I are the first people to be recording a podcast that will have stated that.
It's true. We're literally like when you see people comment on like videos or stuff on the internet and just says first, that's us. We're just first.
Yep.
Yeah. So other than that, man, sports is like, I feel like sports is in a lull right now.
Oh, no. Ryder Cup is wrapping up right now. The U.S. maybe just won.
Yeah, but I mean like real sports, Todd.
Oh, don't you dare.
And I'm not saying that golf isn't a real sport. I'm just saying the Ryder Cup is like, that's like very niche for golfers. Like I watch like big golf tournaments, but I don't consider the Ryder Cup to be anything.
Like you've just got it all wrong.
When the Americans beat the English all the time, we're fine.
No, that's actually, we've only won 2 out of the last like 10.
That was more like a Revolutionary War joke, but
I actually thought about that today because I've seen that. That's like 2-0 in World Wars or something, like on a hat, and I'm just like, wow, I'm not sure that's in great taste. But
well, you know, there's definitely people in Wyoming and South Dakota wearing those hats right now.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you what, I do find myself watching big golf tournaments, but I never, and I mean capital N never, find myself watching professional tennis.
Yeah, I don't either. And it's actually not too bad to watch, but I really don't. I don't catch any of it either.
I just don't care. You know what I mean? I understand that those guys are like the top of the world, and I don't ever think I could ever hold a candle to those guys. But like, just talk about golf is borderline for me, but tennis really pisses me off because of the etiquette of the game. Like, I'm fine with at least golf when Tiger hits a shot, you have that guaranteed guy that's always going to yell Tiger, which are some of my favorite videos, by the way, when somebody just, it's all just people like duffing their tee shot, but that guy is still yelling Tiger. Oh man, those are funny. I'll send some of those.
Some dude started the whole deal where they yelled mashed potatoes.
Really?
I don't
mashed
know.
Mashed potatoes.
You never heard that one?
I haven't heard that one.
Oh my gosh. And now it's just like a thing.
But and at least golf, like, I don't know, golf, like I said, golf is borderline, but tennis, they're so uppity. Mm. They're too fancy for the room. You can't even like look in the direction of your coach in the stands without getting penalized.
That's true. That is random.
I hate that so much. And I hate that like they get mad if people yell or talk even during a match. Like, ugh, just get over yourselves. You're hitting a felt ball. I've done that when I did that when I was 1 year old and I didn't care if people were talking behind me.
The hypocrisy is that it's okay to throw a huge fit and literally break your tennis racket in half, smashing it on the ground. It's like, no big deal.
Because this is the same group of people that will wear $1,000 outfits to play tennis in, including bracelets and necklaces, and be setting the example for like the world's greatest athletes. But yes, we'll look at the referee and call him every name under the sun. And throw a little tantrum. So I hate tennis. And if you're a tennis fan and you're listening, please stop listening.
Can you?
We can't exist in the same world.
Can you imagine, like, just take any, I think like a sport with a stick. I mean, I guess golf is kind of that, but like baseball, hockey, and the dude just at home plate is just like smashing the home plate with the bat until it breaks. He would get thrown out after the first swing.
Oh yeah. As soon as he raised the bat in the air to, with the intention of hitting the ground, he'd be kicked out.
They look at the umpires wrong, and the umpires are like, you're out of here.
That's what I'm saying. Like as much as the NBA, like as much shit as the NBA players get for like complaining and stuff like that, it's still not on the level of some of the stuff I've seen in tennis.
NBA like, player just like takes a shoe off with a shiv in it and pops a ball.
Yeah. Just launches a shoe into the crowd and just like puts his foot down. Like, I refuse to play. Just like, no, get out of here.
Go get a new ball. This ball sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, so tennis can jog on. I've never seen any blow ups in golf. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, like, they happen.
People like blowing up about rules or whatever, but I'm sure it happens.
The good thing about, I mean, I guess it's similar in tennis, but you can only really be mad at yourself in golf.
Yeah,
in tennis they get pissed at the officials sometimes.
Because of bad calls and yeah. But just the fact that, like, you go to a tennis match and you have to be quiet drives me crazy. Like, I want people, there needs to be, like a lower federation of tennis that, like, where people, like, drink beer and eat. Like, you just hear a guy opening chips while somebody's trying to serve.
He, like pops the bag in his hands.
But, like, just people heckling them while they're hitting it, you know? Like, how funny would it be when they're grunting every time they hit and you just hear somebody in the stands just doing like a super feminine version of it? Just like, ugh! And then somebody in the stands, ah! Dude, that'd be the best.
Or just like trying to time it.
Yeah, just time it to like where it's just a second before when they hit it. So it just throws them off just a little bit. Because the problem is you're the best in the world. Like, you're literally the best in the world. And you can't play your sport without distraction. Absolutely annoys me. Like golf, I've seen it a few times where somebody will say something or move in the middle of a backswing. But like at the same time, they will line from the tee box all the way down the fairway to the green when a guy's coming down the 18th. And it's just a line of people. Talk about like pressure. You have to hit your ball like perfectly to not kill a person that's watching you from like 2 feet to your right.
Yeah, dude, there's I saw one today. A U.S. guy was hitting a 3-wood from the rough, and like literally there was two cameramen that were 3 feet off of exactly where he had to hit it, 20 feet in front of him. Like literally, he just catches one like low on the toe. That guy's dead.
He's just through. It's like that old sniper movie where he shoots him through the scope and into his eye. It just hits the cameraman into the lens and
just goes through the lens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At least golf can like play under that kind of like. That watchful eye, but in tennis, they like put them way away from you and they can't. Yeah, it's just tennis sucks.
There you heard it here. Tennis.
Yeah. But frisbee golf, on the other hand. Hey. Speaking of sports, though, I like this song, by the way. There was a first pitch that was done over the weekend.
Oh.
And I'm sure you saw it. I think the whole world saw it.
Yep.
Conor McGregor throwing out the first pitch. And it was awful.
It was.
Great power. You know, I expect that from McGregor. But accuracy was awful. I mean, he almost threw it into the dugout. So it brings the question, because there's been a ton of awful first pitches. I don't understand why they're so bad.
You know what I mean?
Like, I've thrown things a lot in my life. I've thrown things in the ocean. I've spent the bulk of my elementary, middle school, and high school life in Dubois because there's nothing else to do, throwing rocks at stationary objects. Like, who can hit the stop sign first kind of thing.
Dude, I literally can remember being at, like, the Three Lakes at, like, an end and being like, I think I can throw a rock across this little, like, channel.
Yeah.
Just, like, seeing, and then, you know, you, like, throw your arm out and your hand goes numb.
The craziest thing though is like if me and you were to go out right now, I got a perfect stop sign right across my house, and we were just to launch rocks all day. we would be sore for 2 days.
Oh yeah.
But we would do that. We could do that for 8 hours with your friends. And then a new group of friends would show up and be like, what you doing? I'm throwing rocks at that sign. I bet I could do it for you. And you throw for another 8 hours. Your arm's fine 20 minutes later.
Oh yeah.
Oh, to be young again.
I think honestly, the people that are the majority of people that throw the terrible first pitches, they must literally have zero throwing experience.
But I can't on good nature think that I'm going to look up worst first pitch pitches. Because
this was on SportsCenter the other day. They were showing a bunch of terrible ones. Like literally they had one. I feel bad for the lady, but she just got like, she won like a fan drawing for a fan got to throw out the first pitch. And she held on to it too long and hit the cameraman literally just to her left, like right in the freaking face.
So a funny one, the Anthony Fauci is on there. And the funny thing is like the card of him, there's a baseball card out there with Fauci throwing out the first pitch that's worth like a lot of money.
They pay you to take that card.
Yeah, that's true.
That's like a draw four card.
But like, you're going to look me right in my eyeballs. They have Michael Jordan on this list. Michael Jordan played baseball. But like 50 Cent, Conor McGregor, John Wall, okay, like people like that, like Snoop Dogg and everything. You're telling me that they've never thrown something in their life? I mean, I get it. It's way farther than it seems. And there's a ton of pressure because there's people looking at you and stuff. But like, dude, I just can't imagine it's that hard.
Yeah, but think about like if you went to throw the first pitch lefty.
But like, why granted, would I?
Well, that's how it feels to them because they don't have any throwing experience. So like it doesn't matter. Like even if you're just like, I'm just going to lob one lefty, it might come out, you know, 30 degrees to the right. You just.
Now I'm looking at a picture of 50 Cent throwing out the first pitch. And this is like by no means a shot at girls, but he literally has a throwing like a girl stance. like it's like a thing. When they're too weak in like in the motion, they're when you throw your elbow leads. That's why it always looks like your elbow is always in front of your arm. So then anyways, that's what they say when you're throwing like a girl. And 50 Cent is doing that. I feel like he's definitely thrown something. So part of me wonders if it's a conspiracy by Big Baseball. Because if Conor McGregor goes down there and throws a nasty sinker and puts it right on the glove, people are going to stop watching the MLB because it's not that hard. So they're telling these people to go out there. We'll give you an extra $25,000 to shank one. And that way everybody thinks it's hard. And then you get made fun of for a little bit, but baseball protects its image. Because you heard it here first. Baseball isn't hard.
I think they just can't throw. I'm not going to lie.
I just can't believe that there's a world where Conor McGregor's never thrown an object.
You don't think so? He strikes me as a perfect example of somebody that would be terrible at throwing things. Other than fists.
No, he grew up in freaking...
He throws like hand carts at buses and... He's never thrown a ball.
but as a
throws chairs and water bottle. You've seen him throw a water bottle in a news conference. That thing hits like the back wall and the guy's like 2 inches in front of him.
But he's a boy that grew up during a time. You've picked up an object and thrown it at some point.
They don't have balls in Ireland.
Say that to his face.
clip that out of context.
Yeah. I just
Somebody's
don't believe
clip that and send it to him.
Send it to McGregor, and the next thing you know, he shows up at your door, 1 foot in front of you, throws a glass of water in, air balls it. But I will give the idea though that like the NBA sometimes they airball free throws, so I know there's like oddities. I refuse to believe that Conor McGregor is that awful, because he clearly let go of it too early, but like. I've never played baseball in my life. I played T-ball. I was the last hitter. I didn't even have to use the tee. I just crushed. But I guarantee I could throw I couldn't throw a strike, but I could get it over the plate in front of a full stand fans, full Newark Yankee Stadium.
I bet. I'm sure you could. I just feel like we grew up throwing anything and everything at very small targets.
So you're willing to admit that I'm more athletic than Conor McGregor?
Yep. That's what you heard.
It just blows my mind. That blows my mind how awful people are at throwing. Like, I don't know. It's just, I'm upset.
People aren't athletic.
But I don't even think that, like, some of the throws are so unathletic. Like, if everybody starts at zero and you just build your athleticism from there, some of those throws are negative.
Oh, yeah.
And as a 50 Cent, you know he's thrown stuff in his life.
I think he's another one that strikes me as like, yeah, I could see that. Never thrown something.
Are people just outside of the West not throwing things when they're little? Is it like
there's too many people around?
That's exactly. They
don't have any wide open spaces.
You just you can't throw rocks at a stop sign because there's 400 people walking on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe that's it. The Midwest and the West. Do you want to get good at throwing? Come to the Midwest and the West because we got plenty of space.
Yeah.
I right now could throw a rock straight out my front window and not hit a house. You know what I mean? Like that's it. Like. The security guards will probably think it's weird that I'm throwing rocks, but but I can't throw a football. I will give you that. I can't throw a football.
I've never been very good at that either.
And I blame it on my masculine hands. I know there's football players that have bigger hands than me, but like I just palm the ball too much. So I can't, I don't have that football touch.
I don't know if it's a good thing to have large hands to be, you know, like a quarterback. I feel like it might actually hurt you a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is literally coming from somebody that doesn't play football.
Right. But either way, nobody should be freaking sucking that bad throwing a baseball.
Or you should practice a little bit.
I almost guarantee that right now my daughter could put one closer than Conor McGregor.
It's not like the MLB is not going to have, like, couldn't provide, like, three baseballs for somebody to throw a few, like, the week before.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why didn't Conor just go out and, like, tell his guys, like, guys, I don't want to look stupid. Well, somebody in his camp probably was, like, doing what I'm doing and saying, like, you've never thrown a baseball? Yeah, you'll be fine. It's not even that hard.
I know.
And then now he's fired, so.
It's crazy.
Huh. Well, all right then.
Yep.
I got one more thing, and the rest are pretty much yours.
Okay.
And
what do you got?
This is the most confident thing I've ever been a part of in my life.
Ooh. Bold.
It's the 50 states bet. Okay. The bet is you get a blank map of the United States with all the state outlines. You get $1 million for every state you correctly identify. But if you guess wrong, you get zero and you can leave states blank. How much money are you making?
Oh, you mean like, if you get one wrong, you lose all your money.
You lose all your money.
Oh yeah. I would say, I feel like it's a thought experiment here. So I'm going to be realistic and say, I think I could get to high 20s, low 30s before I got a little nervous about getting one wrong.
Really?
What do you think?
I'm getting all 50. Hands down. I'll get all 50 in less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, but you're not going to worry about messing one of those East Coasters up?
No.
I'm with no pressure. I think I could get pretty close to 50.
But
if you lose all the money, if you get one wrong, I'm going to pull the plug at probably like low 30s, I'm saying. Just in case.
You're starting all in the West and then working your way east where it gets harder.
I think I could go, yep, start on the West Coast, go up and down all the way over, and I think I could get past Texas, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, and then it
say,
starts
though,
to get a little hazy.
Do you know the difference between Indiana and Illinois?
I do.
Okay, just check, because that one tricks people.
Oh, yeah.
Same with the southern states, like figuring out where your Georgia and your Alabama goes.
Yep. See, that's what I'm saying. I don't need to risk that.
But I
got Georgia, but...
The thing about it is, so two things for me. I'm getting $50 million and I'm walking off the stage dropping the mic. I'm not even going to hesitate for two reasons. I was an eighth grade Geography B champion in my class. So I beat like 15 kids on naming the states and the capitals. Then one of the things that I do in my classroom all the time And I've actually used as an incentive for kids to like skip assignments and stuff like that, is I pull up on the smart board a map, and they have to identify all the states. And so I've been doing this position for 4 years now. I'm not a geography teacher, but I've seen kids guess enough times to where I have the whole map memorized.
Well, that's fair.
So I mean, I'm starting on the East Coast, and then I'm starting on the hardest ones, process of elimination, and then I'm just breezing the rest of the way through.
You've been training for this game then.
Yeah, this is a perfect game for me. That's why I said this is the most confident I've ever been in my life. In fact, I'm so confident, I would do double or nothing on the East Coast states. Everything is worth 1 million, East Coast states 2 million.
That's impressive.
I know, Vermont shaped like a V, so that's how you remember it. So yeah, I'm just saying I think it would be easy, but it is funny because like if you have no reason to, like in your case, if you have no reason to look at the map, the United States map, and for the last 10 years, like it's a challenge. Absolutely, it's a challenge.
Well, that's why, I mean, I'm generally pretty good at geography, but I would not say that I could get all 50 for sure. So
what I want to do, but the problem is we have to do it where like there's literally no studying involved. So it has to be almost like a pop quiz.
Mm-hmm.
Like 6 months from now, where we go on Zoom, we do, you know, whatever in person or something, and I give you the quiz. And I'll give you $1 per state. Same rules. If you miss one, you get nothing. And I'll see what you got. It's $1. It's not that big of a deal, but but still, I think that'd be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah.
And it's such a useless thing to know.
Oh yeah, you know what I mean? Sure.
And I can't do it with any other country, obviously. Maybe South America, because there's only like 7 countries out there. But. But yeah, I definitely could with Australia. But a boom. Yeah, I think I'm walking away with 50 million.
Gold.
And then putting 50 million down on a pan of blackjack. I wish there's definitely days where I wish I had just more like income to just go to Deadwood and just drop like $1,000 and just play blackjack all day or poker.
Just to see.
Yeah. Like, no, it's not a big deal if I lose it kind of thing. And if I win, it's, you know, that's awesome, obviously. But like, I've had an itch to play poker something fierce lately. So I'd like to be able to. Dude,
I can't even tell you the last time I actually played poker.
It's probably been forever. Yeah. I think realistically, the last time I played was, I think there was a couple times we played in Casper when I was living with Mike. But even then, I don't even think those were for like money. I think it was just like a bunch of people getting together to drink, and then halfway through, people just like walk away from the table. So, and then anytime we were in Deadwood together, our game was always blackjack. So,
it's a time commitment though. Yes, you can't play poker when have something to do later on, because you'll just lose. You guaranteed to lose. You have to be able to be patient.
Because they do poker tournaments every day in Deadwood, as I'm sure they do in Vegas. Just pop in tournaments. But I mean, it's like tournament starts at 3 p.m. and you're walking out at, who knows, midnight.
Whenever it's done. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I lose a lot, because we used to play online poker a lot. And I'd enter those tournaments all the time. And there's times where I'd be top 10, but I'd just get impatient and I'd be like, yeah, I'm going all in.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's patience is key when you're gambling.
Yep. Especially, yeah, exactly. Especially when you're playing other people.
Yeah, who are also probably starting to feel impatient. So
it's like the World Series of Poker. They just play for like, I don't know how many people are in it, but it's like a week, you know what I mean? Or 8 days or something.
Yeah, I remember when the World Series of Poker was huge. Like, I mean, poker was on ESPN every day, it seemed like.
I know, it's crazy.
But I remember Mike and I like bought a Xbox poker game. We played poker on Xbox.
That's crazy.
It was dumb. It was awful, you know, and there's like nothing at stake. But I just remember thinking like, we're playing poker on Xbox right now. So whatever. But
Yeah.
All right. So now that we've covered the two things that I contributed to the podcast.
I have lots of random stuff. Let's go. Let's keep it kind of light. So story time. So this morning I got up bright and early and I was going to just knock out some shopping.
What's your bright and early?
I was up at 5:15.
Okay. Yeah, that's
right. And then
that's,
I was out.
It's not bright, though.
No, it was dark. Dark and early. I was out to go to the grocery store at 6. And I was like, I'm knocking out the shopping. I got to stop at Menards when it opens at 7, grab dog food, because it's the only place that's going to be open that early. And then I'll grab some breakfast. I'll be home. We can play video games. We can do whatever. I can be ready to watch the Ryder Cup and football. We can cook. I can, you know, carve out some time to podcast, right? We're all good.
Yep.
I'm getting a jump on the day. Everything's lining up perfect. I'm doing my thing. I was like, you know what? I don't want to wait till 7:30. So I just buzzed on right by Qdoba. I was like, I'll just grab some Taco John's. It's right by the house, right?
Yeah, great idea.
Get to Taco John's. It's closed.
Classic.
No workers.
Ooh, okay.
They're literally, and then I was like, I had this realization. It's like, okay, so they can no longer keep a schedule. You could look it up. I looked it up on Google. It's supposed to be open. They just don't have the staff.
Yeah, right.
And so there's a giant sign outside. And then I had this other thought. I had stopped somewhere. I might have even been on the road, like for work. And I got, you know, it might have been Qdoba, to be honest with you, and Casper. And when I left, I pulled out of the bag. Literally, they put like a job application in the bag.
That's amazing.
It's where we're at right now. So it's like,
That's intense.
So then I'm like, okay, now that I've driven all the way home and it's 15 minutes till Qdoba opens, what am I? And I just went and parked at Qdoba and waited until they opened at 7:30. But it's just like, God damn it. Like, nobody's willing to work. They can't keep a schedule. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of crazy.
That's crazy. That happened to our KFC here.
It happened to me. It happened to me 2 weeks ago trying to grab Chick-fil-A in the morning, and they're like, we don't open till 10 now because we don't have the people. It was like right when school started. All the high school kids went back to school.
Oh, right. Yep. That's crazy. Because our KFC did the thing where they were like, we're only open from like 10 to 1. And then they couldn't even do that. So they closed down. Taco John's too, which is crazy to me because Taco John's like, wasn't Taco John's invented in Cheyenne?
Yeah. Well, we're back.
Yeah, we are.
We had a little technical difficulty there. I had an internet outage, but I don't think we missed anything. We'll pick it right back up where we left off.
Yeah, Taco John's started in Cheyenne, Wyoming in 1969. So where I was going with that was you had talked about Taco John's not being open because they didn't have employees. And I feel like if you're the main hub of Taco John's, it's been created in your town, you have to make sure that store stays open.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, there's like 100 of them here, but they should all be open.
Right. It's the mothership. Like, the mothership goes down, and then next thing you know, Spearfish Taco John's is going to be closed.
It's no good.
Yeah.
It's starting to be a... I get it. Like, I don't know how to feel about it or change things, but it sucks to work in those jobs, and that's why a lot of high school kids work in those jobs, to make some money while you're going through school and stuff. But, man... How do they stay open when nobody wants to, they're getting paid to stay home? And I don't even think that's even going on anymore.
I don't think it is either. I just think they should probably pay people like a livable wage. I don't know what Taco John's starting is. Let's see what Taco John's starting.
I'm pretty sure the sign that's out front of the one that was closed this morning says starting at like 12 or 13 an hour.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty solid.
It seems like it. Compared to what, you know, what I worked for when we were in high school and stuff like that. But
I remember Todd and I, when we worked at the Cyber Cafe, cause like, I remember our first year, it was like some weird grant that paid us, through the state or something. But I remember we got paid $10 an hour and I thought like, that was the greatest thing ever. Like I was getting paid so much money. Now I couldn't even feed myself off $10 an hour. So
I know,
which is crazy to think, but, and I just know like the restaurants here in town are very exploitative territory of the high school kids here. And they treat them like crap. I mean, granted, some of the high school kids are crap. Like they don't show up to their shifts on time. They're always calling out, like all that stuff. They don't have good work ethic. But there's a lot of them that are busting their ass all the time, working till 12:30 in the morning, and then they have to be at school the next day. And you know, it's just they take advantage of kids. Like they hire them at $15 an hour, but they only give them like 2 hours a week. You know what I mean? And then when they show up, they send them home early, and it's just, I don't know. There's very specific businesses in town that treat their high school employees like crap, which doesn't surprise me that sometimes kids end up with poor work ethic because that's what their first introduction into work is.
Yep.
So I don't know. It sucks. And I know some kids that work more than I ever could imagine. And then on top of it being in high school and stuff. So, it is crazy though that there's just that shortage. I was in JCPenney yesterday and I wasn't shopping. I was just walking through. When you go to a mall, I don't know how often you go to malls. What do you do? Like, do you go in the food court? Where do you go? Are you a side door kind of guy?
I don't go very often anymore. But usually if we're going to a store that's kind of in the heart of the mall, you know, like on an interior.
Yeah.
We'll just go through the nearest, you know, big store.
I hate going through food courts.
Yeah, I never do that.
And I'll be honest, anytime I would go to a mall, I usually park, even if I don't need to go to JCPenney, I usually go in through JCPenney.
Yep.
I don't know why.
That makes sense.
It's just like home, I guess. but I was walking through and there was an old lady yelling at one of the workers there because I walked by one of the registers and the line was out the door. People waiting, and there's only two people at the registers. And the lady, like at a different part of the store, was like, "Do you guys have any other registers open?" She's like, "Ma'am, we only have two people working register on the other side of the store." And she was like, "Two for the whole store?" And the lady's like, "Ma'am, nobody is working." Like, she's like, "There's four of us here today. Like, what do you want?"
Crazy. Yeah.
So I'm like, it is frustrating. I get it to be like waiting in line and all that stuff, but like, what are they supposed to do? You know what I mean? Like, why are you being a dick to these workers because other people didn't show up to work? I don't know. No wonder people don't want to stay, because if you are the few that stay, you get your ass ripped. You get sneezed on. You get people that hate you for whatever reason anymore. And then why would you show up to work for that? Like, it's true. Insane. But you got to get paid somehow. I just don't even know, like, I don't know if we're going to recover from this. I think the U.S. is dead in the water. We're done. Just call it. So,
well, it is a wait. There is a, that's a big, you know, tough problem to solve with the wage thing. And I have no idea what the answer is, but you know, it seems like to me, the answer was those are jobs for young people that don't need to support themselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what you do when people go back to school. And what, I mean, I worked at the Exxon through high school.
Yeah.
Or at the end, but.
I think I worked every, besides basketball season, I worked through the school year all 4 years. Because I worked at the Cyber Cafe during the school year. I mean, granted, it wasn't like full time. You know, it was like after school once in a while and then on a Saturday.
Right.
But maybe we just get rid of school. Because like, here's the thing, Todd. And you know this. There's a lot of value that is outside of the content that you get in school, like time management and social skills and all that fun stuff. And then you pay to go to college and you specialize in an area, and you, while still developing some of those skills or skills. What if we don't have school at the lower levels? High school becomes optional. No, backwards. What if we do have school at the lower levels, you know, the basics? And then high school is optional, and then college is super optional.
Super optional.
Like in the sense of like high school, you should be there if you have nothing else going on. And then college is the way it is now. But like, then you get people working younger and could, you know, being able to do the job, like all these different jobs, getting work experience. And then the people that don't want to be in school are actually using their time wisely.
There's probably a version of that that could work. I still think you need some.
Yeah, you definitely need
secondary
some.
Or not. Like,
But you can.
Yeah, is high school secondary, right?
Yeah.
Secondary school?
Well,
I think you need some, like two, at least half of it, probably.
Because like, I just think, like, if you get put into a job, like, if it's a skilled job, obviously that's different. But, like, if you're driving a garbage truck or you are changing oil on cars all day, or you're doing auto detailing, or even just like auto repair and stuff like that. Those are all skills you can learn on the job.
Yeah. There's definitely a lack of time spent in trades. Like, I hear it all the time from contractors that build stuff.
Yeah.
Roads and bridges and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
That there's nobody to do that work.
Because...
So there's going to be a time 10, 15 years from now where we're not going to be able to get anything done.
Right. Because you can learn math... Like, I don't know how to use a tape measure. I mean, that's a lie. But I didn't know how to use a tape measure up until I got my job at Wyoming Machinery, because I never did anything with my life growing up. And then when I got to Wyoming Machinery and I started measuring, you know, when I was working in the hose bench and doing all that stuff, I learned how to use a tape measure because it was experience. I had to do it every single day. Somebody showed me the basics and I just got better every day I did it. So, like, if you don't know math, realistically, you can learn it eventually through the job of like measuring boards of wood and shit like that.
Yep.
So
totally agree.
But I also know that there's some countries that do that where it's like you go to middle school and you do some sort of testing and based off your interests, well, you're just going to go to the workforce or you're going to go into athletics or you're going to go into this, you know, like high school becomes a specialized education instead of just a general education. So, I guess you heard it here first. So, cancel school.
That's so early, too. Because, I mean,
dude, yeah.
I didn't even realize what I wanted to do until like 2 years of college.
I just like yesterday figured out what I want to do.
I was going to say.
And it's nothing. It's still nothing. And
mine was earlier than most. Yeah.
Yeah. Because me in middle school, like, I didn't even know college was a thing in middle school. And then I get to high school and I was a horrible student. So bad that like my guidance counselor like couldn't wait till the day I graduated because I was such a nightmare. And I wasn't even that bad. You know what I mean? It's just when you have 25 kids in the whole building, one kid seems really bad. and then I failed out of school. Like, I went to Casper College and failed out. I had like a 0.8 GPA. They said, you can no longer be here anymore. So I didn't know what I changed my major that first like year at Casper College 6 times. So I'm just like, yeah, there's no way you can know what you want to do. But that's the thing is, like, if you learn a lot of on the job skills, let's say jobs do a better job of documenting trainings you've gone to and skills you've learned and stuff like that. And then if you want to continue, say you want to like do high school as a 25-year-old, you get some credits already taken care of because you have real world experience.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you don't have to take English because you've been doing construction since you were 14. You know what I mean? Like, what is English going to do for you then, unless you want to go down a path of English?
If you want to be a writer.
Yeah. Which English bothers me. Like,
it's not a very good language.
Yeah. That too. history makes sense. Math makes sense. Science, love science. English bothers me though, Todd.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, you learn to read, you learn to write. At a certain point, you start learning to read and write about stuff that you don't care about. Like, some kids, they discover it then and then they run with it and they become awesome. But like, I don't see the value in some of the things that they read. I think you should only have to do like 2 years of English, and they're 100% based on, and I'm talking high school here. The 2 years of English are based on like 1 year is like how to do research and how to write like professional sounding emails and like resumes and stuff. And then the second year would be more into developing your vocabulary and sounding professional. And then after that, it's all optional. Like, then you can read Shakespeare and, you know, the Odyssey and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just tilting half of the high school right now by even saying that, probably. But I just don't. I don't know. Maybe because I'm awful and I still don't know how to use a comma but
yeah,
but I don't know. I just think like we could probably do without it. Same with math. You don't need anything past like, honestly, you don't need anything past like addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Because most of the stuff you could just look up online or on a calculator.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think of it though. You can't, I don't know if you'd say, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I don't know if you would say that if you didn't take a little geometry or, you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't want to, I don't know if you could say that if you didn't ever know that the long side of the triangle, you know what I mean, is changes the length of one of the legs or, you know what I'm saying?
Hold on, can you say that again? I got to write that. I need
to get out your steno pad.
Yeah. No, honestly, I don't, I taught every single day. Here's what my class looks like. I have tomorrow, Tuesday, I'll have my first block, and I have a girl that's in my class that's currently in geometry, and she comes and asks me for help all the time. I don't know how to do geometry, Todd. Like, we're literally struggling through it together because I don't understand geometry. Now, algebra, I'm a little bit better at because it's just formulas and putting numbers in places. But I've even had moments where, like, physical science, when they're figuring out the velocity of a bullet being fired from a gun, I'm like, dog, I have no idea. Like, I don't know. I have to sit there and read the chapter and teach myself real quick so I can teach it to them, which is a whole nother level of insanity when I'm learning at the same time as them and then I have to explain it to them. That's because, you know, that's the ultimate test of your knowledge is if you can teach it to somebody. So, yep. Yeah, it's wild. There's a lot of things that I'm like, some things it's just like second nature. Other things I'm an absolute idiot. And I'm not afraid to admit it to them either. I'm not going to BS them and then have them get a bad grade. And they're like, well, Mr. Yost told me this. It's like, yeah, Mr. Yost is an idiot because that's what the teacher will just say. So, but also,
that's all right.
Yeah. But either way, it's just funny. Sometimes like the stuff they come to my desk and I'm like, yeah, I could help you out. I could figure out anything. And then it's just like, figure out the recoil of the gun when a 4-kilogram object is shot out of it at 1,000. And I'm like, nope, I'm good. Like, just rip that up and be a doctor or be a, I don't know why I said doctor, drive a garbage truck or something, but yeah.
Be a welder.
Honestly. Yeah. Be a welder.
You probably need some math there though, too.
No, you just point fire at metal and it goes together. That's all it is.
That's fair.
My lack of knowledge on everything in the world just continues to offend everybody and be wrong.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So.
Well, that's why people listen.
Because I went after doctors the other day. And
that's right.
Yeah. I didn't. Speaking of that, I was supposed to have a doctor's appointment. So I'm dying. And so I'm supposed to have a doctor's appointment this Thursday, and I set it up and I got a call like 2 weeks after I set it up saying that doctor is no longer taking new patients.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. I've never had, do you have a primary care physician?
I do not.
Neither do I.
And every time this comes up, they're like, who's your primary care? And I was like, I don't have one. And everybody looks at me like I'm,
what are you doing?
Insane. That's what I'm like, who does have one?
But that's the thing. Apparently everybody has one.
I don't think they do.
No, dude, I bet I could talk. I could walk down the street right now that 9 out of 10 people have a PCP. But so anyways, I want to set one up. I'd like to have an answer the next time that comes up. The thing is, I had one when coronavirus started and I went in to get checked on my heart stuff. I was like, hey, I'd like a primary care physician. They're like, sure, we'll set you up with this guy. I expected to set up an appointment with him, but he's no longer taking new clients. So apparently nice. I was never his client. But anyways, so yeah, they thought it was weird that I didn't have one. And then, I don't know what to do. Cause I don't go to the doctor. I have insurance. But I want to like get my health on track and stuff. So I'm starting there. I don't know what to do. They're like, well, what do you need the appointment for? And I'm like, I don't know. Just like a checkup, like check
me out,
check the fluids and the filters, I guess. Just rotate some stuff. I don't know. Like, you tell me, I haven't done this before. And the lady was just like, so confused. And I was like, this isn't confusing, lady. Like I haven't been to the doctor in who knows how long. And I just want to like, I don't know, get my blood drawn, like have them, do they still do the thing where you have to like turn your head and cough? I don't know. Like,
I guess you just ask for like a general physical, and yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, because I have specific things I want to talk to him about. I want to look into heightening myself. I want to try and get taller. So instead of losing weight, I just get taller and distribute the weight.
It's a great plan.
Yeah. And I'm just going to keep doing that until I finally hit a weight that looks normal. But yeah, I want to talk to him about certain things, but I don't know. Like, I didn't realize I had to have like an agenda, because then it just makes me think, like we were talking about, like there's definitely going to be things that a doctor does throughout the day where it's like, oh, I just got one of these. That's no big deal. I'll be in and out in 5 minutes. But if I say the wrong thing, he's going to be like, oh my God, I'm not. It's like, I'm on vacation that day. Like, I'm not doing that. So
yeah, that's a good point.
So I don't know. It's, I don't even know how we got to this conversation, but I guess people not being employed. People aren't working at Taco John's, and I can't find a doctor to save my life. So
Crazy.
I love Taco John's. Whew, I love Taco John's.
Speaking of restaurants, I'm going to bring it back to that for a sec, because I had this thought today when I had my 15-minute sit in the Qdoba parking lot.
Yeah.
Do you have, I mean, everybody that routinely purchases fast food from same place.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's Chick-fil-A. And not as much Qdoba, but I used to do Qdoba a lot.
Yeah.
So like I have rewards there. Okay. And I can even extend it to, you know, whether it's credit card or frequent flyers or do you spend reward points that you earn?
Oh, absolutely.
You do?
I am a elite level status person at a couple different places.
Yeah. But you spend the points that you earned.
Yeah. Like I, the other day, last weekend. So I had like at Qdoba, I had my year anniversary free meal.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and spent that, and that gave me enough points to get another entree for free. So I have a free entree on deck again. And I use them all the time, Todd. Like Jimmy John's is another good example. Jimmy John's has a rewards program. Domino's has a rewards program that I use. What else? Taco Bell has a rewards program. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. I love using them.
I never use mine. This is why I wanted to ask.
Okay.
Like, so I'm looking at my Chick-fil-A account.
Yeah.
I have 19,000 Chick-fil-A points.
And you can get a lot of great stuff for that.
Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich is 600.
Why aren't you just eating free Chick-fil-A for the next month?
I don't know. I don't spend them ever.
Todd,
that's 32 chicken sandwiches.
Go right now and get 31 chicken sandwiches for free.
I guess I just like forget, or I'm just like, nah, I don't know.
I know what it is.
I don't ever spend them.
I know what it is. You're ashamed. Because you don't want them to know that you eat there so much that you have that much free food.
I'm at the signature member, like the highest status.
Yeah.
I want the next level.
Right.
I want to be that guy.
But you can.
They create a new level for you.
You can spend your rewards and get to the next level.
Chick-fil-A, they just add up.
Oh.
So, like, I don't know. Right now, like, I'm at 10,000 is the highest level.
Yeah. It's,
like, what happens if I go down below? Do I lose my status?
Well, just don't go down below. You got 19,000.
Qdoba, on the other hand,
yeah,
I might as well spend those.
Yeah, because you stay at that tier forever.
So, I did actually use some today for the first time, like, forever.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know how your Qdoba is. Well, first off, our principal the other day, during the morning announcement, they were giving away gift cards. And he's an older fella. And actually, like, the more I think about it, like, one of the best bosses I've ever had. And that's, like, not even, like, a kiss-ass situation. Like, I just feel like he's got my back till the end of time. Everybody's back. But anyways, he's an older fella. So when he did the announcement for the gift certificate to Qdoba, he pronounced it Qdoba's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like an old person thing to do that. I don't know why, but like every kid in the building laughed, like simultaneously laughed. Cause it just makes you sound old when you say it that way. But I don't know about your guys' Qdoba, but ours kind of sucks.
I've eaten at yours with you before,
but you ate at it before pre-COVID.
That's true.
Where you could get the trio of tacos, you could do all kinds of cute things and get all the kind. Yeah. I feel like since COVID, you can't have any fun there anymore. Like it's still customize your own stuff, but like you can't just go and get like an order of pre-made tacos anymore.
Why not?
I don't know. It's annoying. Like, because you used to get those.
Because they condense the menu?
I think so. But also probably because, yeah, it has to be that, right? But it's just like, it's not as fun to go in there anymore. They don't have like pre-made awesome stuff to eat. So.
Interesting.
I don't know. But I also, we have barbacoas.
Oh, yeah.
And barbacoas
I'd probably go there instead, to be honest.
You wouldn't go there for their queso, though. Their queso is buns. It's nowhere near Qdoba's queso.
Qdoba.
So. But either
Qdoba. Way. That's even better when they say Qdoba.
Yeah, Qdoba. There's not even an S on it either. So when people say Qdoba's, it's like, huh? Yeah, I love reward programs, though. I'm a reward guy.
Like, that's like our only benefit, like when I have to do stuff for work, is you have to pay for everything out of pocket, so you might as well put all of your work stuff on some sort of rewards program.
Yeah, right. But, yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. So, you ready to move to one of my other two that are a little more serious?
Yeah, let's do it.
I got one that I just wanted to run by you and see if you've noticed this, or if you can explain it to me.
I definitely can.
I'm going to lay the groundwork and then I'm going to ask you the question.
Okay.
So the other day, it's probably been maybe a week ago, roughly. I might even send it to you. I sent an Instagram post of our president. And he said, literally it was in an interview. He was talking about hurricanes. And literally was talking about how devastating hurricanes can be. And he says, one of the things you can do to be prepared for hurricanes is to get vaccinated, like right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it went kind of viral and is kind of just like, oh my God, this is ridiculous and kind of hilarious at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I randomly clicked on it because somebody finally like noticed that I had sent it to them. And I just wanted to clear the message that they like sent something back or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I clicked on the post showed up in my feed and it literally was flagged. It was flagged by Instagram as missing context.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I was like, ooh, that's a new one.
Yeah.
Because usually everything is flagged for this hasn't been reviewed or this has been taken down because it's misinformation or false information or fact checking. You know what I mean?
Yep.
There's a bunch of different ones. But I noticed that they're always in one direction.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not picking a direction. Yeah, I'm just saying.
They're just in a direction.
Every time.
Yeah.
Is that... That's not a coincidence.
Well, first off, I think I understand what he was saying in that. Of like, the hurricane could wipe out a ton of stuff. And you might not have the chance to get vaccinated. Because they're doing other things. So like, if it's on your priority list. Or it's something that was in the future. I could see them saying, do it now. Because we might not have places that they get wiped out by the hurricane, or we're going to be too busy saving people's lives to give the vaccination.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
And I would like to think that the person we elected to run this country could convey that message. For two. Oh, damn it. I forgot what two.
Perfect.
God dang it.
I was just going to say the leader. Of
two. I was going to say two. If you haven't done it already, you're not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? True. His message to those people that haven't done it isn't going to make.
Yeah.
That's not going to change their mind.
I definitely hope the leader of the free world who has people writing for him can speak better than a guy who does a podcast can do. But yeah, I also think you're right. I think if you haven't gotten it, under most circumstances, you're not going to get it. But on the side of the censorship of media in a direction,
Is it just because the media is held in one direction? Is, you know what I mean?
I think the danger is from things that happened over the last year, not just presidential, but just like scientifically and conspiratorially, I don't know, just stuff like that, where now it's just like you almost like put that on there just so people are forced to do their own research. You know what I mean? Like if a post comes out that says like Yost is actually only 5'11" and there's no like flags on or anything, people just read a headline and that becomes their reality. Where I think if you flag it with missing context or it hasn't been fact checked or whatever, then people might look into it on their own. You know what I'm saying? Or they might actually click on the article and read it. Cause I feel like right now, if I see something that says, you know, Shaquille O'Neal dies, right? My first instinct is to go research it. Like, what the heck happened to Shaquille O'Neal? I think about it like with the Kobe Bryant thing. I didn't believe it happened at first because it felt like a troll thing. And all the time on social media, they'll just put like rip, you know, somebody's name and they're not actually dead. But some people don't do that. Like, there's a giant population of idiots. And the problem is there's a lot giant population of idiots that are in very powerful positions. So they read a headline that they did no fact checking on, and then that coming out of a very important person's mouth with that didn't do any fact checking gets spread out to all the other idiots. And some of the people that aren't idiots that are just like, holy cow, now I'm terrified. I just think like putting those things on there for like context and fact checking might be doing a service to people thinking like, think for yourselves, you idiot. Like, don't just read this and go with it.
I can understand that. My devil's advocate position and an example is I'll give you right now is I saw this last week and then I got, you know, sucked into the wormhole of looking at comments, but
right.
Literally I saw it several places from officials in our country,
right,
that said that COVID is now the deadliest virus, right, a pandemic, yeah, that we've ever seen.
Past the Spanish flu.
Correct.
Yeah.
How can that not get that flag?
Oh, like, because that almost seems like it's quantifiable. Like,
I know, but you're picking out specific, you're just picking a total number. There's 350 million people. There was 150 million people when Spanish flu hit.
Yeah. That,
you know what I'm saying? It's cherry picking. So like that's why I'm saying it only goes in one direction.
Yeah.
Which I just think is interesting, and whatever, it is what it is. And I'm not going to change it. We're not going to change it talking about it on this podcast, but I just feel like people don't think about it because how would they notice?
Well, I also think the direction that it goes in is also in the eye of the beholder. Like, I'm surrounded by a certain direction, and that matches my beliefs here and there and all that. So when I see things that oppose it, it's easy to be like, and I see it like at the flag or whatever, you know, then it makes sense. But then I don't see a lot of information the other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, my social media isn't necessarily filled with people on the opposite side. And it's not because like I don't want to hear their opinions, just because I choose not to have that flood my social media.
No, yeah, that's a good point. But I do try to have at least a neutral view on everything to make my own decision.
Yeah.
So like I literally follow some ludicrous people on the right and ludicrous people on the left.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Lynn, I can hear both of their stories and I'm like, okay, they're both completely bonkers here. So what do I believe? You know what I'm saying? But that's why I noticed that it feels like, and maybe rightfully so some of the times, but the one, like I just gave you that example, like it should also have that tag.
Yeah. But what if you didn't follow anybody from either side? And then you just let your unbiased opinion guide you. And
well, my opinion doesn't make a difference.
No,
right?
No.
So the reason I even bring it up and the fact that certain things get flagged and certain things don't, and I guess maybe it's just me, but it seems to me like there's a message, a position that is getting pushed everywhere. Doesn't matter what your beliefs are. Doesn't matter what the information is. And that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's the
we're going to make people get the shot. It doesn't matter. We're not going to talk about natural immunity.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of seems, it seems sketchy. I'm afraid of that.
Yeah. There's a lot of things to be afraid of right now. And the biggest one should be what's happening in Australia that the Americas are not talking about at all, because the tinfoil hat in me thinks because it's coming next.
But
I don't think it's going to, but you know what I mean? Like that's a thing. Like what's happening in Australia is insane. And
New Zealand as well is the same. Yeah. It might even be worse.
Yeah. So the fact that like we cover everything in the world except for that, maybe we do. I just don't watch the news anymore. Cause it's a buzzkill, but
It's a total buzzkill, man. It makes me, I may have said it on this podcast, but it makes me want to buy a house in the woods and have a generator and have my own food supply so I never have to leave.
Right. Speaking of that, I friggin', like, everything kills you, right? There was like a huge outbreak of salmonella from not even food. It was coming from the takeout containers.
What? Yeah. I didn't hear about this.
Yeah. So I just, like, stuff like that is like, we just can't live. Everything's killing us.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah. I think either way, we're not making it to 2100.
Oh, I was, this is sad, but I literally was watching the Ryder Cup and they were like announcing the next, literally they got to like 2039 on Ryder Cup locations where it's going to be when it's in the US.
Yeah.
So it's like, it alternates between Europe and the US every 2 years.
Yeah.
So in the US it's every 4, but I was like, dude, are we even going to be around in 2039?
I know.
Jesus, yeah. It's only 18 years away. But
I know, just thinking that, like, my daughter will, she would live to see 2100. Like, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane to me. She's like a future person.
That is crazy.
There's also, they've labeled the new generation of kids.
What is it?
And I don't like it.
I don't even know what it is.
It's Generation Alpha.
No way, is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so they're just saying, like, all these kids are better than everybody else. I guess. So, yeah, crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if anything that comes out of that conversation is just, like, don't just repost shit on Facebook because your uncle put it out, or repost, argue something on Facebook just because you don't agree with the headline.
I would say, yeah, my statement on it is just, it doesn't really matter what the message is, but don't automatically believe it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Make it and judge it based on what you can gather. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also at the same time, like, be pay attention to the world. Like, I don't watch the news, but I always got an ear to the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't live in, like the idea of living in a cabin and just, like, disappearing off the face of the earth. Like, yeah, that sounds great. But also at the same time, like, kind of know what's going on around you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, keep your ear to the ground. So that's my recommendation this week. Keep your head on a swivel.
We'll preface this, but I'll be talking about this again, I'm sure, when my company tries to force me to do something that I don't want to do.
So. Do you guys have more than 100 employees?
Yeah.
I mean, not in Cheyenne.
We have 10,000.
Yeah, but that's like company wide, though.
Yeah,
I thought it would be like, oh, if you have like 60 people in your local branch, they wouldn't make you.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I haven't read that closely into it.
I just read the headline and just made an opinion based off that. So
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna put people in a tough situation here soon, but. I got the Moderna, which has come out to be the highest quality one. So I'm pretty positive I'm better than everybody. So I don't need the booster shot, basically. So suck.
Unless you had it.
Suck it, Corona.
Which you had it, too.
So yeah, I had it.
You'd have been fine either way. But
yeah, I guess we'll see. We won't know anything until, you know, 50 years from now when they chop up all the bodies of old people that got the virus, you know, 30 years from now and be like, oh, he had like a small alien growing inside of his body that was controlling him. like Men in Black. So either way, I'm hungry. I'm going to go eat. So I think we'll wrap it up here.
Yeah, that's good.
I do have a recommendation this week, and God dang it. It's such a good show, Todd. You need to watch Ted Lasso.
Apparently everybody's raving. It's winning all these awards and that's all I see.
So
I don't have Apple Plus.
Oh, well, that's odd. Either way, if you have Apple Plus, go watch Ted Lasso. If not, find a way to get it. But it's insane to me how I started watching the show because I wanted to watch the hijinks of a American football coach sent to London to coach soccer. And I like Jason Sudeikis. It literally has... I wouldn't say it's changed my life because nothing changes my life. I'm just a slug that refuses to do anything. But like I cry. I've cried every episode. It's a comedy, Todd. and I've cried every episode. Like,
that's crazy.
It seems like when you first meet Ted Lasso, it seems like he's just a run-of-the-mill dorky character, but holy cow, he is full of life lessons and just, it's so good. Like, it's so good. So if you get a chance, go watch freaking Ted Lasso. Other than that, just stay alive again another week. Do your research. Go watch Ted Lasso. So,
fair enough, man. My rec is, we just talked about it. So be an independent thinker. Make your own judgments. You'll be good.
Yeah.
Critical thinker.
And go get a job at Taco John's so Todd can eat freaking really good breakfast burritos.
Please.
If you're in Cheyenne right now, just pick up a side job and go work at Taco John's. Wrap some breakfast burritos for the Toddster. So
that's it, man.
Well, Todd, as usual, it's always good having a conversation of aimlessness. We're gonna keep plugging along. It's the year. Like you said, it's a year anniversary. We did nothing special, but we do appreciate everybody that's been on this journey with us. It's been nice. It's been cathartic. It's been
absolutely.
It's a level of therapy and creativity and all that kind of good stuff. So we appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, everybody. Much appreciated. Yoast, I will talk to you soon.
Sounds good, buddy. Everybody else, have a good week. Don't die. Do your own research. See ya.